So joining us on the line for his regular weekly chat is the former Leeds United chairman, Ken Bates. Ken, how are you doing?
Good afternoon. Very well, thank you.
Good stuff. I think we'll start...
enjoying all the exciting news coming out.
Yeah, I say we've got plenty to talk about this week.
Let's get on with it then.
So I think we'll start off, of course, looking at Leeds United. Season's over, ending in a 1-1 draw, just missing out on the playoffs. And I think the big news to come out today is that Massimo Cellino's reportedly selling his stake within the club within 2 weeks. Just kind of what have you made of Massimo's time at the club and Leeds just missing out on the playoffs this year?
Well, Massimo came in with the Arabs, and I was very amused by a text I got from him about a year ago. He said, "Ken, having dealt with the Arabs, I now understand fully what you thought they were, blank, 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 blanks." I can't use the words over the, really what he called them. He said, "But you were perfectly right." So he took, thing is, Leeds was in good spirits, good organisation, and I'm going back a bit on the history, and I had a lot of new investors to come in with me. And we finally, Massimo came in, sorted out a mess. Now, unfortunately, Massimo has his own problems, which is, didn't help him trying to recover Leeds. But he didn't do a bad job overall. And bringing in Monk after a few other mistakes was a good one. He always wanted to get out because of his problems with the FA, Football League and the tax authorities. And he came across his fellow Italian. I happened to know a few weeks ago that he was negotiating. Now, as I understand, since Leeds have not qualified for the Premiership, Massimo is selling to the new man, whom we know nothing about. But he comes in clean. So where does Leeds go from here? Well, they have a good manager, Monk. He's done a great job. I was interested in reading about his pre-match plans and blah, blah, blah. And we've had him on a normal year, 75 points would have got us in the playoffs. If he didn't, we're going to start again. But I believe Monk should be given a new contract. Should have run later. He'll give him a budget. He should have to get on with it. And we have Charlie Taylor, who being a silly boy, very unprofessional, refusing to play, paying the terms of the contract, because he has a Spanish agent. I'm sorry, Charlie, but I think you should be hammered for breaching your contract. I'm worthy of you. And unfortunately, it exposes shortcomings in your character. So moving on, Leeds are now preparing for next season. Got a great stadium, great facilities, which I can claim part responsible for. Let's move on. And please renew your season tickets early.
And you touched on Charlie Taylor there. That brings us nicely on to kind of our next point of it's come out recently that Paul Pogba's agent, that transfer has been investigated by FIFA. £41 million the agent reportedly got in that transfer. Are agents' fees too high for kind of the job they're doing? Because that is money that's essentially going out of football.
The problem we've got is money going to football, but more importantly, there's tax avoidance and tax evasion. But it's so simple to get these things sorted out. The government, the FA or the government, or both the introducer, are withholding tax. So as many of these agency fees goes overseas, nobody declares them. It's very simple. all agent fees should be subject to a 30% withholding tax, deducted by the football club when they pay them. If the agents live in England and pay income tax, then that 30% can set against their income tax, no problem. But the rogue overseas players lose 30%. And the same applies to transfer fees. If there's an overseas transfer fee, there should be a 30% deduction. And the money stays in England. And that money should go to the FA, who use it to reach grassroots, help young English players, so maybe one day we get a decent English team again. Problem solved. Kiss. Keep it simple, stupid.
And then, you know, we're talking on the agents' fees. Of course, you've been were involved in football for a very long time. We spoke about Charlie Taylor. Kind of, what were your experiences with agents involved in transfers, you know, at football clubs?
Well, to be fair, it's a different world from when I was. I mean, agent fees used to be 3-5%. And no problem, go up, off it went. We never had a situation where an agent represented both the club and the player, or both clubs. And this is where it's total prostitution of the original ideas. The original idea was, if it swings, they had a player who was at the mercy of his club. So he got an agent to advise him, represent him. And there are some good agents. I know a few have deliberately reduced their fees or not made money to look after their clients. Too many agents now just regard players as cannon fodder. Meat to eat. A commodity. Don't look after their best interests. That's what's disgraceful. Living in Monaco, I've met a few. Good, bad and indifferent. I know them. But it's very easy to stop it. As I said, tax them at source. That'll stop it. And more importantly, there should be a pro-European circulation and a registration of all agents' fees. So whichever country these agents work in or reside in, the relevant tax authorities can go for them. It won't solve the problem, it'll greatly reduce it. Get rid of these parasites and may the kids can be looked after properly.
And then elsewhere, looking outside of football, of course, in the United Kingdom, we've got the general election happening. Theresa May made an appearance on The One Show with her husband last night. Kind of, what have you made of the election so far and the campaigns and Mrs. May's appearance with her husband?
Well, it's nice, wasn't it? No problem there. Came as a human being, and her husband came over as similar to Dennis Thatcher. A pillar behind the scenes and supporting her without looking for any exposure. What's more important and interesting, I've been looking very interestingly in the election. There's all these people talking, and Corbyn, of course, and to lesser extent Fallon and Sturgeon, total parasites. Let's analyse it. Let me talk about me personally and start with, okay? I started my first business in 1920. That's right, when I was 20. I'm 85. Spent over 60 years in business. With that business, I created many thousands of jobs. And I was organising many millions of taxes. Via my business opportunities, I have paid personal income tax, personal capital gains tax. My company paid corporation tax. But more importantly, through the staff I've employed, paid National Health Insurance. We paid, the employees paid income tax. And of course we paid VAT, valid tax. So over the years, millions of pounds have been generated into the coffers. And all the appreciation we get, we're going to tax the rich, we're going to screw this, we're going to screw that. Well, hang on. What's Jerry Corwin ever done in his life to create anything? He's been a parasite from the day he left school. He worked in local government, became a councillor, now he's an MP. Has he ever created anything? Has he held? He's a parasite. Now, what would happen if all the people who create the wealth and jobs in this country said, to hell with it. We're sick of being pilloried and insulted, being rude to. Bad enough. We're going to stop. We're going to stop. Get on with it. We're going to sit back. Where will Mr. Corbyn get all these taxes from? Where will the money come to finance the overpaid pension index-linked civil servants and the National Health Service and the teachers? Where's it going to come from? Oh, I haven't thought about that. Let's borrow some money. Who's going to lend it? Who's going to lend it? So, like Mr. Corbyn, shouting your mouth off, having never done a day's work in your life, having never created a job, having never done anything, fortunately people will see through your rhetoric. And of course, think better, think even worse. We get Jeremy Corbyn as our next Prime Minister, has Diane Abbott as our Chancellor Exchequer. That'll be fun. Two and two make what? I couldn't believe her pathetic performance on TV, on radio and TV. She get up and get out. I don't know what she's talking about. But none of them do. Listen to Mr. Fallon. Mr. Ed Miliband. It's Mr. Clegg. And then we go to Scotland, Sturgeon. She's failed the Scottish National Health Service and the education system is worse than England's. The two Scottish banks are the worst in the country. Two of the Scottish investment trusts are going to merge and lose 800 jobs. So where's the money coming from? It's all rhetoric. It's all rhetoric. If we're not careful, the people who create the wealth, the entrepreneurs, mostly the hard-working working class who started with nothing and created jobs and created businesses, can say, I've had up to here. And that's what people in this general election to look at. Are you going to vote for the creators? Are you going to vote for the spouters? And that is my message to the populace. I live in Monaco. Okay, I've had enough. Right here. So the result of the general election will not affect me, personally. But I'm concerned for the well-being and the future of the United Kingdom. And we have to make... And the next thing they should do is sack 20% of civil servants, overpaid, on index-linked pensions, and are usually incompetent. Apart from that, happy Christmas.
And I think the final thing to ask, if there's any other business that we need to take care of.
I think we've done that, haven't we?
All right, well, I think the final thing to say is, Ken, thank you for joining us.
As we're talking, I'm watching this today. For the many, not for the few. Okay. Where are the many going to get their money from?
Well, Ken, as ever, thank you for joining us on Radio Yorkshire. We'll speak to you the same time next week.
All right, thank you, young man.